thank you for your songs, Thurman. All of it fits real well with the lesson today. Certainly glad for everybody that's here today. I hope all has been well in your lives as it has been in mine. Today, we're looking at a lesson called A Father's Approval. And you look back at your lives, and some of you might have had a great father that when we go through this, that you look back and you say, man, my dad was like this. And then some of you may have not even known your father at all and not known your earthly dad. I look back at young boys that I've been able to teach in football and baseball and whatever it may be, and they look to approval of you, what you give them. And I've had them come back to me and say, hey, thank you for teaching me to pray. I didn't even know how to do that. I didn't know anything about God. And then young girls that I've coached in the past, the same way, they're looking for a father figure always in their lives. They crave, these young people, they crave a father figure, a good dad like a child would crave milk. They're searching for it and looking for it. Well, today we have a lesson and we have everything that we possibly could need to let you know that even if you had the best dad, the worst dad, not one at all, no matter what you have, there's still someone out there for you. Your search is definitely not over. And we're going to go into this lesson today, and when we do, I want you to think of God the Father while we're going through this lesson. I want you to think of God like Michael had read earlier in 1 Peter. I want you to think of him, though, looking down, watching his son while he's praying. We're going to start our lesson in John chapter 17, if y'all want to work your way there. But I want you to think of God looking down at Jesus while he's praying with the sweat dripping off of his head, the physical and the emotional agony that he's in at this time, and all of it that he has to go through throughout what he has to go through it for us. To watch his one and only son die for sinners. Not for great people, not for good people, but to die for sinners. And then you have our brother Jesus. Jesus died for us. He died in our stead so that we could live with God through his blood. So I want you to think of this, and this is for me, myself, the thought of giving me the right to be his child, wiping away, or what you do when you're a child, when you're young, you get a do-over sometimes. I need a do-over. I messed up. I need a do-over. You get that do-over, and this is not only an honor for you and I, but it's a privilege that we have. And I want you to think of that as we go through this lesson today. John 17, verse 1. This is Jesus right before he's about to be crucified. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and he prayed. What did Jesus do? He prayed. He's showing us right here. You go to God in prayer when you're in need. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Did y'all catch that? He wants God to help him through this so that he can let God shine through what he's fixing to go through. That's important. For you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Verse 4, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. I done everything you told me to do, God. This is God's son. You're going to gather this up in a little bit because you are God's son also, because Jesus died for you. You have the same ability to complete the works that you go through and that you do. Verse 5, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Oh, man, that's powerful. We're going to go back and we're going to read a verse in the Old Testament. This is David. Verse 4 in Psalms chapter 34. I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Go to verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Your Father and my Father helps us with our fears. He protects us. Our Father has hero status. I know a lot of young people are always looking up to some hero that they can find, somebody that makes them feel good. I got a grandson back here that comes to my house, and he may be Batman one day. He may be Buzz Lightyear one day. He may be Spider-Man the next day. He may be whoever. And I'll call him by name, and he says, "That's not my name. I'm this." And I call him that, whatever he wants to be called, because he's looking for that hero in his life. Well, God the Father has that hero status. You will never be ashamed of God the Father. Our Father gives us a home with Him. He says there, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him." David understood what God was. If you're able to come back tonight, we're going to have a short devotional lesson over David and a couple of other people in here. But David is a big part of our lives, looking at how you make mistakes, you do things wrong. But if you want to seek the things that are good, you better follow the Lord. And David understood that, and he tried to live that the best that he could. Let's go to John, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see, you have to put God first in your life. And when you put God first in your life, you're putting your family and everyone else also first in your life. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. Do y'all remember what Michael just read to us a while ago? We don't look to the world for all this stuff. We look to God the Father for the things that are good in our life. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Would you go back to what we just read in John chapter 17, 1 through 5? What did Jesus do? He completed the work that God gave him. He did the will of the Father. We live our lives by example, right? We lead by example. So, we look back to God here. Our Father wants you to follow Him, not the world. You have to put God first in your life, and everything else kind of falls into place. Sometimes things don't go as we think they ought to, but God's with us. And we got to remember that. We can't allow ourselves to be separated from Him. You do realize that Christ died for us to live a holy life, not a life of corruptness. We can't look into that for ourselves. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Our Father gives us all we need and more. He tells us right here. Our Father gives us precious promises to keep us from this corruption. Our Father is in control. Did you catch this part? You and I get to participate in the divine nature, and we get to escape all these evil desires because our Father loves us. What did He do for us? He gave us Christ that died on the cross so that those sins could be wiped free. That's that do-over that we talked about earlier, right? Let's move on to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, verse 3 through 7. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. We just talked about that, being holy and blameless. We live our lives for God, not for ourselves. Our Father chose us to be holy and blameless, just like what Jesus is. Verse 5. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Our Father chose us to be holy. Our Father adopted us to be His child through Jesus. In Ephesians 6:1, He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." Obey your parents in the Lord. Obey your Father God. Obey your Father God. Children, listen to this. This is if you are 100 years old, if you're 90, if you're 80, if you're 70, 60, 50, 40, 30, all the way down to a baby. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. We have redemption, and this redemption comes through Christ's blood. This redemption we have through Christ's blood, we get because our Father God loves us unconditionally. That means He loves us fully and wholly. Sometimes we miss that unconditionally love when we try to love someone else. We don't do it fully like that. God loves us unconditionally. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. That means you can't brag about it. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Jesus, who we live for, gives us eternity. We live through Jesus, and we get granted this eternity. This gift never stops for us. The eternity's forever, isn't it? You can't get a gift any better than that. There's not one out there for you. Let's turn over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Jesus did exactly that, didn't He? He worked a good purpose to fulfill God's will. You remembering back what we talked about? What God was looking at while Jesus was dying on that cross while we're right here? Think back to that. Jesus completed all of God's work. Not just some of it, not partially, but He completed all of God's work. 1 Thessalonians 4:7, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live holy lives. I think we read a little bit about that earlier with Michael when he got up here. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. And He says, no one comes to the Father except through Me. Jesus is God's Son. Jesus died on the cross. so that we could be forgiven of our sins, and through Jesus' blood, we're able to be adopted by God as His Son. And Jesus would be our brother at this point. Let's turn back to Acts. Let's go back to Acts in chapter 17. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, this means that you are a child of God, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver, an image made by God's design and skill. We realize that gold is kind of precious to us here on earth, but we talked about this in class this morning. God paved the streets of heaven with gold, so it's nothing to Him. Jesus is way more important than that. And if God was willing to allow Jesus to die for us, that's more important than anything that you can imagine or put in your brain. Verse 30, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent. For He has set a day when He will judge the world with justice by the man He has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising Him from the dead. We are our God's offspring. Our Father allowed us to be with Him. He allowed us to be His child. Our God protects us. Our God is precious. Our God is loving. Our God is caring. But our God also is going to end this world someday. And there will be a judgment. We read it right here. We don't know the day and we don't know the time that this is going to take place for us. So we need to prepare ourselves and always be ready. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. And verse 28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. God works for us who have been called according to His purpose. God has been working for us. He worked hard for us. Put yourself back there looking back at God again, watching His Son die. That's tough. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He is also glorified. You get the opportunity to glorify God just the way Jesus did, by being His Son. Verse 31. This is very important for everyone to remember and understand. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? I think we kind of went over some of that earlier today with Michael when he got up here and he was bringing us some thoughts before communion. If God is with us, who can be against us? We understand that out of that, that Jesus is our brother and God is our Father. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Because God does what to us? God protects us. Turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God gave His Son to die for everyone's sin, and everyone has a chance to go to heaven. But you get to choose. It's not a tough decision, but not many people will get there because of our selfish ambitions, money, fame, whatever. Don't give up on yourself, and don't give up on others that you know. Because the Lord, we read this a while ago, wants everyone to come to repentance. But I want you to understand this. Just because God is patient, that gives us no right to push our limits upon Him, to push His buttons, to say, Well, I want to do this first before I do that. Because you remember, we don't know the time when this will take place. We have no idea. Our Father commands all people to repent. We understand that. And we need to repent of our sins and follow Jesus so that we can be that son to our Father that we need to be. Let's go to back to John. Let's go back to John in chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 24. Jesus praying for the believers. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Jesus wants me and you. He wants us to be with him and his Father. Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. You know, you go to Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, and Jesus said to his disciples, go into the world and preach the good news to all. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. John 3:5, Jesus said, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of the Spirit of water and water. Of the water and spirit, I'm sorry. And then 1 John 5:5. Only he who believes Jesus is the Son of God can overcome the world. The world and its desires are going to pass away. We read that earlier. It's going to be gone for us. It's not going to mean anything. We get a chance to look forward to something more precious, better. My Father is true, he's noble, he's lovely, he's pure, he's admirable, he's excellent, he's praiseworthy, he's glory, he's grace, he's peace, and he's honor. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And this is how we have to live our lives. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. You see, our God leads by example. Our Father leads us by example. We learn from that example, and then we follow that example. And when you follow examples of good, things become good for you. That's having a positive attitude. I'm going to go back just a minute, and I'm going to confess something to y'all. So we have this. And we put this out here. Travis has been doing this for years and years and years back here. And he gives us this that we can follow with the lesson. So there was a time when I would look at this and I would look at it to see how close we was to being finished. That's good, isn't it? How much do we like so that I can get out of here? And now I look at it and I follow along with it and I leave with something every time I come. Because I have the proper attitude. I come in with a good attitude that I want to learn more about God the Father. And when you want to learn more about God the Father, you are going to study more and you're going to read more and you're going to follow along. You're going to see. Now, I know a lot of you say, oh, it's hard when you got kids crawling all over you and they're doing this and they're doing that. When I have that, I get to take it home and I get to open it up and look for myself and find out exactly what he was talking about. The things that I missed, the things that I didn't get. It's important for us to continue on, to follow suit with God's love. And I'm going to tell you this. If you look in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, that's the last thing I got for you. This is why that I love Jesus and the Father God. And it says it right here for you. Because He first loved us. He chose us. He predestined us. You go back to thinking about being adopted. Being adopted. You think of someone, you're going to say, well, that kid's 14 and I'm going to adopt this young man, and he's been to jail 22 times already, and he's stolen, and he's done this, he's done that, and I'm going to adopt him. And everything that you do, you're going to look at him and say, well, I'm going to have to keep a close eye on him because I'm looking at what he did in the past. He might do that again. But that's not what God did. God forgave the past that you had, and you only have the future to look forward to. There's no more of that looking back like that. That's how God chose us and adopted us, with the attitude that that's done. Now you live this way. He loved us that much. God first loved us. We should love Him in the same way. And remember, our Father worked hard. He worked hard for us. And we should strive to do His will and to let His glory, which is Christ, be shown through the way that we live our lives constantly, not just sometimes. If anyone hasn't made this commitment, if you need encouragement or prayers, there's no better time than right now, because we don't know when the future, when the world's going to be over for us. Please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation that Thurman has chosen for us.